Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that it's not just about what we do on our day-to-day as a routine, but it's about what we allow Him to speak to us and then put into place? You know, God can continually speak things into your life. He continually can give you things. He can keep showing things. He can reveal things. But until you learn to put it to place every single day and every moment, you'll continue to spin your wheels wondering, why am I not seeing something different? Why is this not changing, God? What's happening that I'm not seeing what I'm wanting to see, that I'm not seeing a change here? It's because sometimes we get in the way of the promises that God's already placed in our lives. I know that this has been a common theme, but you are already victorious. That's not that victory's coming to you. It's not that you're still waiting on it. You've already received it. When He died upon the cross for our sins, it says, the Bible tells us that He defeated death. Man, for this world, what is bigger than dying? He defeated it. It's already taken care of in your life. So we gotta start walking according to that. We gotta start understanding that if we wanna see kingdom on earth, we gotta start walking like we are in the kingdom. We gotta start doing things like we are in the kingdom, because we are meant to operate in the kingdom. We are not of this world. Oh, come on. Can we get excited when we learn things like this? When He reveals, when He brings revelation, He's giving you new tools for what's still to come. You have already been taken care of. It's already been equipped for you. So when you start seeing things in your life, start hitting the Word. When you start seeing things coming up in your life that you're not sure about, start spending time with the Father. Start diving in. Start digging deep. Start going after Him. Because He tells us that as we read His Word, He writes them upon our hearts. And He also tells us that He'll bring them to remembrance. Man, if you want to say, I'm not good at memorizing, don't worry about it. He has equipped you. Everything that He's placed within you, that He's given you, it's there even when you don't think it's still there. Even when you think, I forgot, I can't remember. Just keep diving in, because He'll pull it forth for you. Man, a while back, I talked about how when we allow Him to pour into our lives, it starts this weeding out process. And when I talked about it, it was with ping pong balls in a vase. But it's the same concept. When you pour the water in, they all start rising and coming out. And it's the same thing He's wanting to do in your life. It's a restoration, a purification. He wants to do these things in your life. And it's not you. It's not anything that you can do. It's what He's doing in you. All you gotta do is go after Him. All you gotta do is press in. I think the reason that this keeps coming up, or I know, is because there's some things He's wanting to do for you. He's equipping you. Don't think of it as a bad process. Even the refining and the refining in the fire is a necessity, because it gets rid of the impurities. It It's the same thing he's doing in your life. He's refining. He's purifying. If you just continue to allow him to pour in, you'll begin to see some things in your life that you never thought you'd see. There will be things that when they happen, you go, man, I didn't even know I could do that. Yeah, because it's not you, it's him in you. He came to this world to show you how he created you, what he wanted you to do here. So when we are praying for somebody and we're not seeing healing, when we're praying for somebody that the chains be broken and we feel like we haven't seen it, keep going. Don't stop. Because it's already been promised to you. It's already something that's been given. So keep pressing in. Keep going after the promises until you see them come forth. Because that's what he wants from you. He wants a hunger, a thirst, a fire in you that just keeps pressing regardless of what comes against you, because you know who you are in him.
Hello. Last week when I was here, my grandson goes, can I go up there? I go, yeah. And he's been telling people, you need to go because I have to say something. You know, and I don't know what's in his heart, but here he is.
I just wanted to pray for my grandma and Alani. Thank you, Holy Father, for what you've given us. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this world. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that I have. Thank you for Alani. Thank you for everybody I know. And thank you for the people out there who don't know me, but they still have a heart inside of them, but they just don't know it. I just want to say you have no authority over Alani, devil. You have no authority over my grandma, devil. You have no authority over anybody I know. Even though sometimes they can be strangers and they don't know that they have a heart inside of them, but Jesus still loves the people that the people that they don't know. I just want to say amen to Jesus, because all he's given us since this day. Thank you for making this a better year. Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's the beginning.
Okay, so I have a praise report, and also, so yesterday I was reunited with one of my sons that was taken by CPS over 10 years ago. And so when this happened, my family went to go visit him and came up, you know, well, we're kind of concerned because of who you once were. So, and I kind of felt like I'm like, whoa, wait, whoa. I think I felt something under my foot. And so that rejection, I said, no, I apologized to my son. I asked for forgiveness and for what had happened. And last night he reached out to me. And he texted me and he said, I'll call you in a little bit if that's okay. I hate the fact that the second you come back in my life, I have to ask you this. I don't got anyone else to ask and I've been trying. It's okay if you were to say no, like I get it, but I thought I'd ask. I have no other option. My son Zachary is 16 years old, and he reached out to me last night because he believes that his girlfriend, a girl, is pregnant. And I said, Zachary, don't kill life. And I see how the Lord is perfect timing that he put reunification right at the time where my son has got a baby in a womb. So I'm coming up here to ask you guys all just pray for that baby in that womb, because the devil, the highest of heavens is under our foot. The highest of hell is under our foot. I heard Patricia King say to me this week, guys, the power and the anointing and the oil is in our testimony. So write it over and over on little cards if you want. Put it on windows, wherever you go. Write your testimony. Put it out there. You never know, because, you know, the Lord's up there and he's just looking at us and he's saying, oh, my child, it's okay. Well, you're just writing a testimony. So I just wanted to share that with you all. And thank you so much. And thank you for praying for that little baby in that womb, that the Lord shine the light on this situation right now, is there's a seed planted somewhere that needs our prayers to plead the blood over that baby right now. And thank you. Every song that we sang today had its perfect thing of that testimony. And thank you coming up, because there comes in the voice of the kids and the children, in the voice of the children. There we go, Father. So thank you so much for revealing the light on that baby in that womb. We plead the blood of Jesus right now over him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, family.
What Rebecca was sharing with us is so true. But one of the things that I've been hearing from the Lord the last few weeks, and, you know, from the different people that have come up here and spoken, is that, you know, we need to get so close to God that we hear his voice every single day, that he sends us out wherever we are to make a difference in people's lives. It doesn't matter if you're walking the street and you see maybe a person hasn't been around and their dog isn't being walked. Why aren't you going and saying, let me walk your dog? Or somebody's yard is overrun with weeds. We can go and say, do you need help? Can I weed for you? Can I make a difference? Sometimes our actions speak louder than the words that we can speak at a later time. Because sometimes God wants us to do the things, and then they ask you, why are you doing this? It's because we have the love of the Lord, and we love them, and God loves them, and he meets each and every need, no matter what it is. And sometimes the need is just small, but yet God shows us that everything we do is important to him. Every little detail is important to him. But we have to put into action who we are in Christ, and not by being preachy, but by being loving. And it doesn't matter the title, whether, you know, the person is Catholic or Methodist or Protestant. People, we're believers. And, you know, sometimes we might be in a church, we don't believe everything, but that's okay. Because what we've got to do is stand on God's word. And when we come here, we get fed, but we have to also be fed ourselves. We can't just come in here once a week and decide, I'm going to learn what Pastor shares with me, which we love Pastor and love what he shares. But we have to have an individual relationship with our Lord. We have to be able to hear him, walk in what he's given us, and share that love with each and every person that we come in contact with. And a lot of times we go, oh, I can't speak. Well, let's think about this. Moses was a stutterer. We had people that weren't perfect because we fall. But you know what? In the fall, we learn, and then Christ grows us up, and then we're a testimony. We should never be ashamed of our testimony. We should be able to share with people, and each one of us are individual, and we all have different testimonies. That's what makes us the body of Christ. We're a tapestry, and we can get out there and reach so many people if we would just take the moment to hear Christ. And, you know, one thing that I have discovered, that if he gives it to your heart to speak to somebody, then he's prepared the heart to hear it. And sometimes people don't like receiving it, but later on they may come to you and say, you know, I was angry at you, but I know you were speaking the truth and you were just being loving. And so sometimes you walk away and say, did I do the right thing? Last week, we saw Rick come up and talk about somebody that needed to be prayed for. That took a lot of courage. And then we saw God work in a miraculous way. We have to remember, God prepares our way. And he says, be courageous. So that's in him, we can be courageous. And remember, courageous doesn't mean that you were without fear. It just means that you've got someone walking beside you who's going to take you through whatever it is that you need to go through. So even in the journey, you have hope. You have joy. The joy of our Lord is our strength. And we can have joy in the midst of the worst of times. And I can attest to that and speak to that, that as he brings us through our journeys, he gives us the time, he gives us our heart, that can speak to others, that say, God is the way. He loves you. He can make a difference. But people, we got to get out and we got to share. Whether you're walking your neighborhood, you're at work, you're in the grocery store. How about somebody you see who's struggling to, I'm short, I can't always reach and everything. So sometimes I have to ask people, can you help me? Can you, you know, and then I say, God bless you. Thank you so much. And we have a smile in our voice, even though we're wearing a mask. Yeah. So just know that who you are is important to somebody else. If we just got to step out and make a difference. So I just encourage you all. Okay.
Be a bit courageous right now. I have a testimony to share with everybody. I'm a little bit afraid, but very inspirational. Like I needed to hear that. I almost wasn't going to come up, but lately I've been wanting to just appreciate God's creation a little bit more. So I've been wanting to kind of like go hiking and go camping and things like that. But because of my knee, I haven't been able to. And before this happened, right, I went to get some camping equipment because I wanted to just spend some time in nature and just like get some one-on-one time with the Lord. Because so often it's like so much electronics and so much outside influence coming into my life when all I really want is just to spend some one-on-one time with my God. And I go to Walmart to get some equipment for that camping trip. I go to the Walmart that is like 15 minutes away from my house, even though there's one 5 minutes away from my house. It just worked out that way. But anyways, I'm in there and I'm shopping for supplies. And one of the workers there comes up to me and he's like, hey, have you seen these propane? These are selling like hotcakes. This is the last pack of four. Like, do you want this? And I was like, let me think about it. I come back to him and I'm like, you know what? I'll take it. It's the last one. Like, why not? And I might as well. I could do some cooking and whatnot. But I grab it. I put it in my cart and I'm off in another section looking for some tents now. And to my right, a woman and her daughter walk by and I kind of overhear them because they're talking a little bit louder. And they're like, the daughter's like, are we going to have to go to another Walmart, moms? Are we really going to have to go to another Walmart? And the mom answers, and she's like, well, if we can't find the propane, then yeah, we'll have to. And the second I heard that, I was like, okay, God, if you want me to give this propane to them, like, I'm all for that. Like, I'm going to do that. And so, like, she walks over to the propane, right? The section where the propane was, it was the last one that I had taken. And the guy that had sold me on the propane was like, yeah, sorry, a gentleman just came by. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, go, 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 go. So I walk over to her, and as he's finishing a sentence, he's like, yeah, a gentleman just came over and bought the last one. Like, as soon as he finished it, I had my hand extended with the propane just to, like, just give to her. And she looked at me, and she was like, what? She's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, no, not another thought in my head. It wasn't something that I didn't even need it. I got it just because it was sold to me, right? And of course, who set that all up? Who set that all up, right? And so I hand it to her, and I just say, God bless you. God bless you. And then she looked at me, and she was like, are you sure? And, like, she was smiling, and, like, it felt so just... Like, I really felt the presence of the Lord in that moment, and I felt like I needed to share that. So thank you guys very much for listening.
The Lord was speaking to me this morning, and he said, come forth, my child. And I walked up to take the microphone, but this little child came forth. And he spoke a prayer. God has heard that prayer. The Bible says we must come forth. We must be like children, little children, to remove our inhibitions and to come forth and speak out to everyone around us. To come forth and pass out the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Are you dropping your fruit? Are you passing it out? Is there love? Is there joy, gentleness, self-control, patience, in all of the fruit? Pass out the fruit, my children. Pass out the fruit. Walk with me. Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. He has not promised us tomorrow. What will our legacy be? Will we walk in love today? Will people remember and say, I want to be like them. I want to walk in love and joy and peace and have confidence and boldness and do the things the Lord has been nudging me to do. But I've been too afraid. Come forth as a little child, my children. Come forth and be the man and the woman and the little children I created you to be. I am your father. You are my child. I am blessed by you. And if you come forth, I will bless you. Just speak my words. Prophesy in my name. Go to the mountain. Submit yourself. Put your body under subjection to my word, to my will. Just walk and walk for me. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm a little late coming up. But I was listening to everybody, and yes, I do have to speak. I was talking myself out of it until I heard Linda. But I just wanted to ask everybody if they would be interested in a support group for grief, because most of you know I lost my son in December. And I think it would be helpful not only for me, but for everyone else that has been through something this past year or years back, because sometimes we still don't work through grief. I can testify to that. But if you're interested, I would love to work with anybody that would be interested with it, okay? And I wanted to share one poem with you that I wrote after he passed. The valley I am passing through hurts. I'm tired, weary, and worn. But even when I cannot see, you will help me travel on. The storms rage on and all around, but your promises are true. For you will bless and hold my hand if I keep my eyes on you. Sometimes I do not understand, but must trust God then. For his ways are much higher, and I cannot question them. But gently lean upon his arms. He will guide me through each test. And someday I'll realize, with every tear, I'm blessed.
Amen. Is he your champion? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, I just want to say thanks. We had a wedding in here last night, and I just want to tell everybody that helped us clean up and everything at the end of it. Thank you so much. Let many hands make easy work. How does this go? Light work, is that right? Many hands make light work. So I just want to tell everyone thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many are excited about what God's doing in your life? Come on, it's the time to be excited about what God is doing. God has got things for you you've got no idea about, and God wants to open those things up to you. And I believe that we're in a time that, like Brother Steve has been saying, he goes, we could have been born in the 1800s, we could have been born in the 1600s, amen? But God, his plans, his purposes have us here in this age right now, amen? And watching a young man like little Ethan coming up and preaching to us, amen? Or praying for us, hallelujah. Hey, get ready, folks. You're going to see some of these younger generation. They're going to come up and they're going to say, hey, man, I got to pray for you, man. This is what God says. God saw you last night. He knows what you're doing. Come on, man. You watch. You watch what this younger generation, what the Holy Spirit begins to do with them. Amen? It's been prophesied. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Amen? Come on. Young man shall dream dreams. Your old man shall what? See visions. Come on, man. How many of you want to see visions? How many of you want God to show you things? How many of you want to prophesy into the life of somebody that got no idea who God is, and all of a sudden you got this word flowing into them from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it snaps something? How many say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Let it flow, Lord. You see, we got a champion. We got somebody on our side. Hallelujah. Somebody, hallelujah, saying, hey, man, go here, go there, stop, go. How many say amen to that? Stop. Don't go. No. Well, just hold on. Now go. Yeah, come on. Yeah, we like that. Praise God. I like David Swift. He says he's like a coach running down the sideline of life with you, man. All of a sudden, he points to another player. Get in there. And the player runs in there, man, and gets things done. Amen. Come on. God is calling folks. Amen. He's bringing them in. You watch what he does. It's not our work. It's his work. Not up to us. It's up to him. Is that right, Brandon? Brendan. Come on, man. Praise God. Yeah, I call you Brandon. Oh, sorry, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. So all these years and they don't know my name yet. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me say glory to God. Can you say that just real quietly? Glory to God. Say it again. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've been talking about how Jesus has been on the, it's the last probably 2-3 weeks of his life on the earth. Amen. And we've been talking about how he's on his way to Jerusalem. He spoke to his disciples and he told them, you know, they're going to go and I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to treat me horrible. They're going to whip me. They're going to spit on me. They will crucify me. I'll die, but in 3 days I'll rise again. Praise God. And you know, and it just went right over their heads. How many say amen to that? It's just, they just didn't get it. Folks, the days are here now where nothing should be flying over your head with the things of God. Is that okay? Is that okay if I tell you? If you don't understand something in the Word of God, tell God. Say, God, I don't understand this. Can you show this to me? Open things up to me, Father, and you watch what he'll do. When your heart is hungry to hear and see something from God, you're going to find that God is oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. How many know that God's looking at your heart? Is that right? He's not looking at you just so you can show off. Is that right? If your heart's wanting something so you can show off in front of God, in front of people, that's not what God's after. Isn't that right? He is after a heart that's humble, that he can use for his kingdom to teach and to show people the things of the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Praise God. So today we're going to look at your flyer today. And what does it say? What's the name of the sermon? It's a hard one to remember. The Rock. How many of you know that Jesus is the Rock? Is that right? The Bible talks about how when in the desert, the children of Israel were thirsty and they began to complain. And God told Moses, speak to the rock. The what? The rock. That rock? Yeah, this rock. Why this rock, God? Speak to the rock. So when Moses spoke, when he hit that rock with his staff, out flowed this abundance of water. Hey, there was a lot of people in the desert with them. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Probably around more than a million. I'm not sure how many exactly. But if you read the numbers, you're going to see that it was a lot of folks out there in the desert. Just the army that they had was, I don't know, a lot of folks. So then you got all the women. Then you got all the kids. So it was a lot of people out there in the desert with them. A lot of, you know, Pastor Stoll told me one time, well, he was preaching to us one time, and he said for the water, every day would have been like 60 tankers, railroad tankers, just to give them water every day to keep them refreshed. And then the food just on top of that. Isn't that crazy? And God provided all that, all those 40 years in the desert. Amen? 40 years, tankers of water, boxcars of food coming in, Kellogg's Corporation making money on the Israelites. No, but you know what? But just if you just think about the provision that God had, do you think that he can't provide for you? And you're and that thing that you've been asking him for, been seeking after, but can you, do you really think that he cannot provide for you? I mean, no, man. He is the rock. He is a place where you can run to. Amen. Ooh, he's the rock of your life. So we're gonna start with we're gonna go to Isaiah chapter 28. If you will, like I've said, take notes, because I really feel the Holy Spirit is saying some things in these scriptures. And there's you got your trifold there with you. If you can, just take some notes on these on some of these scriptures. Isaiah 28, verse 16 and 17 says this: "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste." Verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies." I like that. I mean, does anybody like hail? It'll tear up your car. Isn't that right? Is that right? Hail. But we'll talk about this in a little bit. But hail, you can say in the scriptures, when it comes to the things in your heart, hail is very good for you. It really is. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would just open, Father God, that which you have for us today. Every person in this house, Father, I believe, has a different situation. They're going things that are different and various, God. I ask you, Father, you would touch their hearts by your Spirit this morning. You are our champion. You are him, God, that knows us. So we thank you for it and praise you, God. If you agree, say amen. And pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Like I said, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's close to a week before he gets to before Passover, which all of you know that on Passover is the weekend that he will be sacrificed for the sins of the world. Amen. But here is verse 1 says, "And they came to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, and at the Mount of Olives he sent forth two of his disciples and said to them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say to you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him. And straightway he will send him here. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, What do ye?" King James talk. "What do ye? Hey, what are you doing?" And they said to him, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. They let them take the colt. I like this little part right here where these two disciples go and they're looking and they say, "Hey, go in there and you'll find a colt tied." So they're walking, and as they enter into the city, they're looking. They say, I think that's the one he's talking about. Or it is over there. And how many of you know that, you know, Jesus had told them, just go get it. Is that right? And I don't know about you, but maybe these disciples were talking and they said, "Man, he said, just get it." That's kind of like, it's kind of like America Most Wanted. Is that right? Just go get it and bring it. I mean, you're going to go steal somebody's little donkey. These guys are, I'm sure they're looking at each other. They said, "Well, Jesus told us to get it." And it said, "Well, I don't know, man. What do you get it?" "No, you get it." No, "I'll watch. You go get it." "No, I'm older than you. You're going to get it." Yeah, I don't know what, you know, it doesn't even say which disciples. Is that right? I bet it was Peter and John. And who was it? John outran.
Peter.
Yeah. That's Pastor John. Yeah. He says, no, you get it. No, you get it. So they go up and they're untying it. And of course, the guy, just like Jesus said, hey, what are you doing? Imagine, what are you doing? That's not yours. The Lord needs it. Oh, okay, go ahead. Cool, man. All right. And you're walking away with, that was weird. That was crazy. Notice where it says that they came to a place where two ways met. Have you ever been in that place? Ever been at a place where two ways met? You know you should do what God told you to do. And you're in a place where you're going, I don't know if I should do what God told me to do, because this looks like the easier way. How many ever been there? It's almost like God is saying, he goes, listen to what I tell you. And if you will do what I tell you, you'll find that there's a blessing. Is that okay? Amen. Know that you will all your life go through these places where two ways meet. You've got a choice. Do you know that God gives you a choice? Amen. Is that right? You know that he wants you to choose what's good? Is that right? You know what's really cool about God? He doesn't leave you to make the wrong choice. He'll say, hey, choose today whether you're going to serve life or death. He says that in Deuteronomy, remember? He says, choose whether you choose life or death. And then right after that, he says, choose life. Is that right? So what's cool about God is he always wants you to choose what's right. He wants you to make that choice that he has for you. So he will help you to make that choice. How many of you ever bought something you were sorry you bought? Anybody? Don't you wish that God would have helped you make that choice that time? Did you learn from that time? Or you keep doing it and keep doing it, keep doing it. God, the car broke down again. What's up, God? I thought you said you're blessing me. He says, did I tell you to buy that car? No. Come on, man. How many of you know that God, you're going to end up in a place where the two roads meet? And if you don't know which road to take, you know what's okay to do? Stop. Say, Lord, which road do I take? Peace. It's an easy way, isn't it? Oh, but this is such a great deal. Oh, is it? Lord, should I take this deal or should I wait? Can I tell you, a lot of times God was wanting you to wait. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? The Bible tells us many times to wait on the Lord. Isn't that right? So wait. It's okay. If you miss the deal, is that okay? Somehow we feel like we've got to have that deal. I mean, isn't that crazy how we are? And we're Christians. We know that God provides. Is that right? Does he or does he not provide? He will provide. So you're gonna run into these times where you're going to run into where two ways meet. Be comfortable with it. Here these guys were told, go get the donkey. Here's the way. They said, man, I don't want to do it. Well, he said, do it. And they went ahead and did it. And they did. And there was a blessing behind it. Because they were entering into a time that they had no understanding of. When Jesus told them that he was going to die for the sins of the world and 3 days were resurrected, it went way over his head. Even this event went way over their heads. They didn't understand what was happening. This event for them going to get that donkey was fulfilling a prophecy. If you say amen to that. Because God knows everything. Matter of fact, we're going to look, they're going, what's going on? What does he want the donkey for? What are we going to do? What's he planning to do with this donkey that nobody's ever sat on? Do you know that a lot of times that animals that have never been sat on, they can get a little excited when you sit on them? Yeah, they can get, hey, man, what are you doing? Get off me. Is that right? If it never happened before, they probably don't like it. It's just weird. Get off me, man. Use your own 2 feet. Praise God. I'm talking for the donkey. Never mind. Anyway, praise God. Zechariah 9:9. Look at, here's some of the prophecies. These are some of the prophecies that rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, and upon the colt, a foal of a donkey. Here's a prophecy talking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, being set up. See, the apostles had no idea what they were walking into. They didn't know what Jesus knew. Amen. Can I just tell you that? You don't know what Jesus knows about you. Is that right? Is that okay? What's cool about it is he has provided a way for you to tap into what he knows about you. It's called his Holy Spirit. The word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that he's given you what? The mind of Christ. He's given it to you. James says that a double-minded person is unstable in everything that they do. Isn't that good? So, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, as the body of Christ, it's time that we begin to learn to walk in the mind of Christ. And then all it takes is to be, just ask him. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sit back and wait. It's okay. He's fine with it. He loves it. When he sees your heart is waiting on him, can I tell you? Do you remember when David would go? These nations would be attacking him. His people are all excited. What do we want to do? What do we want to do? He goes, well, let's ask God. God, what do you want us to do? Cool. I love the way David handled it because he knew God was on his side. How many of you know that God is on your side? Do you know that? Are you sure? Come on, man. God is on your side. Hallelujah. Ooh, man. Praise God. Psalm 118, verses 14 through 26. Here's another one about the triumphal entry when we were getting ready to look at. The Lord is my strength and my song. Amen? Amen. Is he your strength? Yes. Is he your song? How do you get strength with Jesus? How do you get strength with God? Do you know how you get it? The word of God says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Is that right? So you got to go into his presence to get joy. That's what God wants you in his presence. When you're in his presence, I remember one time I told my pastor, I said, you know what? I need a new car. We got this Pontiac station wagon that guzzles gas, I mean, faster than anything I ever seen in my life. And I'm a mechanic. And I said, I can't handle this car. And the pastor told me, he says, well, seek the Lord. So I'm in there seeking the Lord. We were praying one Friday night, and I'm asking the Lord for a new car. And then the presence of God came on. How many like it when God's presence comes on you when you're praying? His presence came on me, and all of a sudden I'm going, it's okay, God. I'll drive that car from now on forever. Just because there was a joy that filled my heart. And I'm saying, it's okay, God. And my pastor stopped, hey, Henry, just tell him you need a new car. Okay, he knows it. And just thank him for it and quit going back. Does that make sense to you? Because God is delighted to give you what you need. Amen? He delights in giving it to you. You go into his presence for joy. And the word of God says that the joy of the Lord is what? It's your strength. You need strength? I would tell you that my prescription would tell you, go find the presence of God. Go find your prayer closet. Go to that place where you hear God, where you hear him speaking. Get into the word of God and worship him and praise him and watch what happens. Let that joy well up within you, because that joy is actually doing something for you. It's strengthening you. It really is. Glory to God. So it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. Oh, God, this is good. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. How many say amen? Do you know that? Do you know who the right hand of the Lord is? That's Jesus. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. It says this, the right hand of the Lord is what? Exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Can I tell you, when the word of God repeats itself, it's trying to tell you something. He's saying that he does valiantly. He is strong. He's full of strength, and he's going to come to you and he'll help you. He does what's good for you. Amen. And then it says this, I shall not die, but live. Is that what? Is that what he says? I won't die, but live. And then he says this, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore. How many like the chastening of the Lord? Does anybody like to get chastened by God? Would that be a yes or a no? I see somebody going, that'd be kind of a yeah, no. You know, it's no going in, but when you're coming out, it's, oh yeah, that was good. Amen? The chastening of when God comes to speak to you about something that's going, can I tell you, God will be speaking to all of us. Just when you think you're right, he comes in to show you something else that you need to know about yourself. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. He says this, the Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over to death. Amen? Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. Can I tell you, most of this script that what we're reading is talking about the Lord. It's talking about Jesus. How many know that Jesus said, I am the door? You got to come through me. There's no other way you can get to God. You got to come through me is what Jesus is saying. Here it's talking about the same things, just not saying Jesus, but he says this, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Verse 21 says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Then verse 22 says this, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then he said, this is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Is that right? I will rejoice and be glad in it. When does that day start? That day started when you gave your heart to Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know what? Because you became brand new. Brand new. Everything, your sins were washed away, and you became brand new to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Never again to remember what you did. How many of you ever reminded God that you did something in the past? He doesn't need that. He's going to look at you and say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, I did this and I did that. Don't you remember, God? Well, your memory's not very good, is it, God? And well, no, I don't remember. I washed that away. Amen. Don't you remember? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's who we serve. We serve a God that loves and cares about you and is not holding anything against you. Amen? So this is the day that the Lord has made. You get up in the morning and say, I will rejoice. Get up out of your bed and do that a couple of times. Come on, God. What do we got going on today? Isn't that right, Reuben? Come on, bro. Come on, God. What we got? Show us what we got today, Lord. Show me somebody that I can speak to about who you are, God. Allow me to speak on your behalf just as you have ordained me to do. Amen? How many know that you're ordained by God? Ordained by him to speak life into those around you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to the story. Luke chapter 19, verses 35 through 40. And they brought him to Jesus. Brought who? Who's him? The donkey. They brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments upon the colt and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Woo! Think about this, what's going on here. Jesus riding on the donkey. Some of these guys don't remember what's going on, the prophecies. There might be some that do remember, and I really do believe that the Pharisees knew exactly what was going on. They'd seen the scriptures. Here comes Jesus riding on the donkey. I can imagine what these Pharisees are saying. Oh, he must know the scriptures. He got a donkey and he's coming in to ride in here, man, and to stir up the people. Can I tell you something? It almost didn't matter what Jesus did. Even when he raised Lazarus, the Pharisees were still against him. When he showed all those miracles, people were still against him. Isn't that crazy? You know, we can be a hard-hearted bunch, amen? Is that right? Us humans. Until Jesus comes into your life. Amen? Huh. The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice and all for all the mighty works that they'd seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Why would that even happen? Because it was prophetically spoken that it was going to happen and that there would be praising. There would be kids saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." Hallelujah. What's the difference between Hosanna and Hallelujah? Does anybody know? Hosanna. Hosanna is a prayer of is like saying, "God, save us. Save us." Can you put that up? Save, rescue us. Savior, Messiah, Messiah. Hallelujah. Save us, Lord. Hallelujah is a little different. It's kind of when you praise God. Yeah. Come on. Praise God. When you're praising God and you're worshiping him and you begin to praise God. How many of you like praising God? How many of you know it's good to praise the God that you serve? How many know that it's good to jump around? Do you know that? Not too many of you know that because I don't see much jumping going on in here. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking forward to the day when we look like a bunch of jumping beans in here. Everybody, come on, man. Come on. God's doing good stuff, man. Because he is someone to get excited about. Can I tell you that? I would guarantee you if you won the Publishers Clearinghouse, I bet you'd be jumping around. Yeah, come on. I'll take the money. Heck with that monthly stuff. Come on, folks. Something. Come on, man. Can I tell you, we just don't realize who we serve and how much he loves. Is that me? Was I jumping too much? Yeah. Sorry, man. I won't jump no more. No one says, I'll stop the jumping. We don't understand just how much he loves to see you rejoicing like a child. Some of you won't do anything because you're going to say, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to put a fleshly self." Hey, if you're doing it for God, you all right, Steve? Am I all right? If you're doing it for God, hey, who cares? Amen? Who cares what they think? Who cares? This is between me and you, God. Hallelujah. Somebody looking at you like you're weird. Somebody because you like, ooh, they look at you, everybody looks at you, man. We used to have a brother in here, man, that he used to whoop, whoop, whoop. Remember him? Folks would get, "Oh, man, I'm not sure about that guy over there, man. Why? What's up?" This is a hallelujah. How many of you ever just in conversation, "Oh, hallelujah." Yeah. Does it come out of your heart? Does it come out of your heart? Or is it just something that you automatically say? Come on, man. Talking to you here. Does it come out of your heart? Is it real? Is it God? Oh, praise God. I love you, God. Mm-hmm. Is it coming out of a place where it says, "God, praise your name, God. Hallelujah." Hopefully it's not just coming out just automatically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because then it turns into something that's different. I mean, amen. But it's got to be something. There's got to be something joyful coming out of your heart saying, "God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God." You know, I had somebody talking, some folks talking to me, you know, "Hey, somebody got hurt," and all this other stuff. And I go, "Praise God." And they looked at me. What? I said, "Man, praise God, man, because God can do mightily in those things." And how many know that God sees the needs of us, needs of men, and he says, "Man, I'll do mightily on your behalf. Just trust me." How many know that trust is a big thing with God? For you to trust him, and he wants you to trust him in everything, not just in certain things, but in everything. How many know what everything is? Everything is everything. He wants you to trust him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 16. Glory to God. And I just want you to remember the mindset that Jesus is in. He knows where he's headed. He knows he's coming into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. He knows that he's fulfilling the prophecy. The prophecies are upon him that will begin soon, that he will have the Last Supper, and then he will go to the garden. He knows all these things because the Word of God says that he had been slain from the foundation of the world. So he knows these things. So the mindset's going on. How many of you know that, man, it can be a time where you could say, hey, I just want to run. If it was me, I'd say, man, hey, you know what? Let them fend for themselves, God. I'm going to get out of here, man. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus wanted to do what his Father wanted him to do. He wanted to do it all the time. Every morning he was up talking to his Father so that he could find out what God had for him for the day. And here he's coming in, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it's written that my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. And a blind man came, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, save us, Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. Who was? The Pharisees. And said to him, hearest what these say? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? One of the things I want to say is this. Jesus went into the temple. And he looked around and he began to knock down tables, kick over tables of money. Very significant to us what he's doing. You see, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God that's made without hands, every one of you in. And when Jesus comes into your temple, how many know that he's going to knock some things down? Do you remember that when you got saved? Do you remember the things that he kicked over? He said, this is not good for you, boom. This is not good for you, boom. How many remember that? How many remember what Jesus did when he came into your life? I remember all the stuff. I was even out back breaking records. Remember that, right? I had records. I had ZZ Top, and I had lots of Que Bruto with Little Joe and the Latineers, man. And I had some of the Motown stuff. Crack. Rosie goes, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm going crazy. All I know is that God is cleaning house. Amen. When Jesus comes into the temple, he begins to clean house. And can I tell you something? We get used to him saying things to us, and we leave those things in. Can I just say this to you? He wants to purify the body of Christ. That's who we are. So the things that he's speaking today to the body of Christ are so much more. You know, the Word of God says that the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Is that right? It will cut, and it'll cut deep. Because God is severing his body from the ways of the world. Do you understand that? We are in a time, folks, that God is saying, look, it's time. It is time that you yield to my spirit. When he says something to you, you get it out. Is that okay? Don't ask, oh God, but I love this thing. How many say that you like? For me, I love coffee. How many of you guys like coffee? Anybody in here like coffee? How many got to have more than one cup a day? Woo! Okay, the Holy Spirit is saying no more coffee. I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you. Don't go tell people, hey, the pastor of that church says can't drink coffee. Now, listen. If the Holy Spirit tells you no coffee, listen. Is that right? anything else. I mean, I'm just using that for example. But how many know that sometimes you'll hear him say something and you'll kind of ignore it? Because you're used to Jesus and you know he loves you, you know he's going to care for you, and you know all those things. I will tell you, he is purifying the body. He is after getting things out of you so that you can be used in a way that you never. How many want to be used like Jesus? We say it all the time. Lord, use me like, you know, hey, I want to be like, to be like Jesus. That's my plea. Remember that song? One thing, I can't remember all of it. We all want to be used by Jesus. But Jesus was operating in a different mindset. How many say amen? He was operating in the mindset of the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us to operate in that kingdom. Quit resisting him. Stop resisting him. Allow him to have his way in your life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Because he knows what's good for you. You will find that the things that he says, look, this is not. He'll remove something. Do you know that? Do you know that when he takes something out, he always replaces it? Do you know that? The Word of God talks about when a demonized person, that the spirit goes out, and if there's nothing replacing it, those demons go running around, looking around, then they pick up other friends, buddies, to do the same thing, probably worse than them, and then they find the house is clean and garnished. It's clean, but there's nothing in it. It's empty. And so they come back in, and the guy is worse than before. Why? Because nothing was replaced. But let me say this to you. When God takes something out of you, oh, he'll put something in so much better. He always replaces it with something better. How many say amen to that? So you can expect that. So if God tells you, stop, say, okay, show me what you got for me, Lord. And you watch, God will bring things within you. Verses 42 through 46. So these are the last verses. But I just want to say, the house is supposed to be a house of prayer. How many love to pray? How many pray in the spirit? Praying in tongues. A lot of people don't want to know about it. They want to care about it and everything. But I tell you, the church that's moving today, they're going to be people that are praying in the spirit. Because the spirit brings things that you don't even understand. The spirit speaks the things of God. And even when you're praying in the spirit, the scriptures tell us that you're building yourself up in the most holy faith. The Spirit of God is doing it. It's not you, it's him. So important that you pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. If you've never been baptized in the spirit, ask God for it. It's already there. God, if you've given your heart to Jesus, it's within you. It just needs to be released. Is that okay? Not something you got to fight for 3 days to get or a year. It took me 1 year to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A year. Can I talk about you a little bit, Terry? We went up to a men's meeting. Got prayed for and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How long were you looking for that? A year and a half. Can I tell you? What's really cool about when brother got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and he had a roll of snot that was from his nose down to the ground, and he didn't care. But I'm going to tell you what, man, okay, praise God, that's the Holy Ghost. That's God right there. What, the moko? No. It was the man was lost in the Lord, man. Amen. Praise God. And I've seen you grow like leaps and bounds because of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit builds and strengthens the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. For a reason. It's just not so you can speak in tongues in your bedroom and everything and see. There's a reason why. This is verses 42 to 46. Remember, Jesus is on his way to the cross. He says that Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And I will say that about today. Everything you see going on, it's the Lord's doing. It's not us. John and I are not smart enough to do this kind of stuff. Isn't that right? Me, Rebecca, Oscar, we're not smart enough to do this kind of stuff. Steve, Abe? It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord. I'm not telling you guys you're not smart. I'm sorry. I should think a little bit before I say, praise God. That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, no. Did you never read in the scriptures a stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, now listen to this. This is the part I want to get to. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, talking about those that were resisting, and given to a nation bringing forth what? Fruits of the kingdom. Whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this, they perceived that he spoke of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him as a prophet. These guys were politicians. But go back to where it says, bring forth the fruits of what? Thereof. But bring forth, what is the thereof of? Do you remember? Might go back one more. What does it say? They're fruits of what? The kingdom of God. Bring forth the fruits. He says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits of their own. That's us. How many say amen to that? The fruits of the Spirit are within you. The Holy Spirit is there. Did you know every one of you can stand up here and preach? How many say amen to that? Come on. Why? Because Jesus is in you. If you would yield to him and release yourself from yourself, is that cool? Release yourself from yourself, you would find that you're an evangelist. Amen? You're a preacher. Amen? You're a teacher. Hallelujah. Because not because of you, man, right? Not because of you, but because of him that dwells in you. That's what's important. Because he desires us to bring forth these fruits at this time so that the world can see the kingdom of God like it's never seen it before. Amen? Will you stand? Let's pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want more fruit? Hallelujah. Spend time with him. Seek him. Find him. Let him speak to your heart the things that he has for you. Because I will tell you that the greatest thing about God is that he knows everything about you. He knows where you're at. And he knows those things. He knows what will kickstart your jump. Amen? When you get there, don't break the microphone. He knows what will kickstart your jump. He knows what will kickstart your hands going up. He knows what will kickstart you when you're in the Safeway. And all of a sudden, man, you hear him saying, speak to that person. Tell that lady, buy gas for that guy. He knows. You'll find yourself in here right up here with grabbing a mic every Sunday morning. Man, this is what God's been doing. Let me share this with you because, folks, we are the body of Christ, and the scriptures tell us that the body ministers to the body. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. And God, I know, God, that you have placed something within them. I know it, Father. So I'm asking you, Lord, that seed that's gone in today, Lord, let it be watered and watered and watered again. No matter where they're at, continue to water the seeds that they received this morning, Lord, so you might be glorified and they might rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, God. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Hey, sing one more song with everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.